Thank you, and welcome once again to another radio program from the Independence Baptist Church of Forestell, Missouri. We're glad that you're listening this morning. It is certainly our prayer that God would bless you with the hearing of the Word of His today, that it might be a real blessing in your heart, that you might learn some things about Him and draw close unto Him. You know, the Bible says that we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. And this means that we don't worship God in the flesh, but that we worship God from the inner man. It also says that we worship God in truth. Did you know that the more truth you know about God, the more you can worship Him? And of course, it goes to reason that the less you know about God, the less you can worship Him. And so we hope you learn something about God so you can worship Him a little bit more than you did yesterday. We would like to give you this invitation to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church. We have our Sunday school beginning this morning at 10 o'clock with good teachers for all ages. We invite you to come, bring your Bibles and your family, and study the Word of God with us. And then this morning at 11 o'clock, we have our regular worship service, and we invite you to come to these services. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, we have our evening prayer service, and then at 4:30, our regular worship. And we invite you to come to these services. At 7 o'clock Wednesday night, we have our midweek Bible study. And you're invited to come to this service. And we know that you'll receive a blessing from hearing the Word of God. Last Sunday morning, we began a new series. We were studying the seven sayings of our Savior on the cross of Calvary. And we began with this one in the book of Luke chapter 23 and verse 32. 33 and verse 34. The first thing that Jesus said when He got on the cross was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." At the close of last Sunday's message, we made mention of the fact that Jesus Christ did not say, "I forgive you." Rather, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And we brought out this point, that Jesus Christ was asking His Heavenly Father to forgive those that was crucifying Him. Okay? Jesus Himself was not in the role of forgiving those people, because Jesus, when He was hanging on the cross, was in the role of a man. He came and took the place of a sinful man, and He was bearing our sins on the cross of Calvary. Therefore, Jesus said, "Father, You forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus can forgive sins. We find in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, and verse 6, that Jesus did forgive sins, for He said in verse 6, Matthew 9, verse 6, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," He said to the sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house." And so Jesus Christ could forgive sins, but in this place, when Jesus was hanging on the cross of Calvary, He was in the role of a man. He was bearing our sins upon Himself. Therefore, He called unto His Heavenly Father to forgive those people that was crucifying Him. This leads us to another point. In the book of Luke 23, we find here that when Jesus Christ was hanging upon the cross of Calvary, that there was thieves on either side of Him. Both of these thieves, up to a point, railed upon Jesus Christ, saying, "Save thyself and us." Jesus did not do that. Now, the point is this. If Jesus Christ did not forgive sinners while He was on the cross of Calvary, why was it that when one of those thieves turned to Jesus and said, "Father, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom," Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise"? Did Jesus save the thief on the cross, forgiving him of his sins, when He did not say, "I forgive those that are crucifying me"? Pretty good question. The point is this. Jesus really, as being a man on the cross of Calvary, did not save the thief on the cross. It was God that had already saved that thief on the cross. And when that thief turned unto Jesus Christ and said unto Him, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom," the thief was already saved. All that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, when He said unto the thief, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise," all Jesus did was recognize what had already happened to the thief. He had already been saved. He had already been saved because God had already forgiven him of his sinful nature because of the shed blood of Jesus, who was in the man role on the cross of Calvary. The thief on the cross was saved, just like everybody else was saved, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Some days later, all of this will be made evident. Jesus prayed that his enemies be forgiven. And of course, they were. Notice something else here. Jesus prayed and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Here is a point. That God prays for sinners when they don't know they need prayed for. Jesus Christ has prayed for sinners on the cross of Calvary when the sinners don't know they need prayed for. God has commanded us in His Word that we would pray for sinners when they don't know they need to be prayed for. You know, those people that was crucifying Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, those people believed that they were doing the right thing. They earnestly believed that Jesus was not God. They believed He was nothing but a liar and a hypocrite. They believed that they were following the commands of God when they were crucifying the very God they thought they were serving. They did not know what they were doing. Do you know the truth is this? That people in this world, when they live the life of sin that they live, and they go against the commandments of God, that they really don't know what they're doing. They really don't understand that there's a better life. They think they're living the best kind of life there is. When those people go out and they drink, when they have to smoke, when they have to curse, when they have to commit adultery to have fun, when they have to do all kinds of wickedness, and they say we're enjoying the good life. Do you know they really believe that they are? They really don't see that the Christian life is a good life, and they need to be prayed for. That's what Jesus did. He prayed for people that didn't know any better. And you know that's what we ought to do. For those people that are lost, for those people that are living lives of wretchedness and shame, we ought to pray for them. Because they really don't know what they're doing. And we need to pray that God in His tender mercies would open up their blinded eyes that they might see their absolute wretchedness before God, that God might give them grace and faith with which to believe, and that they might believe and that they might be saved. Another point is this. Jesus practiced what He preached. And this is the real test of religion. This is what we ought to also do, practice what we preach. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and verse 43, listen to the words of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, and verse 43, Jesus says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Do you know Jesus practiced what he preached. We ought to practice what we preach. These people that was crucifying Jesus Christ were people that hated him, and Jesus loved them. Those people that cursed him, Jesus blessed. And those people that did bad unto him, driving the nails into his hands and into his feet, and those very people that put the crown of thorns upon his head, Jesus prayed for. Isn't that what we ought to be found doing? If we are going to be Christians, aren't we supposed to pray for people that hurt us? Listen, it gets very difficult, but this is exactly what we ought to do. If our enemies ask us to forgive us, certainly we should forgive them. But let's go one step further. If they don't ask us, we should still pray that God would forgive them. That's what Jesus did. And if we would be Christians, then we would do what Jesus did. Look back in our text. In the book of Luke, chapter 23. The book of Luke 23. The Bible said here in verse 32, "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." Jesus Christ, after man had done his worst, did his best. After man had led Jesus away, after they had mocked him, after they had scorned him, after they had cursed him, after they had placed upon him the purple robe and made fun of him, after they had driven these nails into his hands and into his feet, after they had raised him up between two thieves and the world could look upon his nakedness, Jesus did his best. Jesus prayed for them. This is what we need to do. Pray for those people that would despise us. After Jesus had all the pain put upon him, after Jesus had the wrath of man put upon him, Jesus prayed. This is real love. We might say that we love our enemies all the time, wanting to smack them in the nose. Jesus had real love. He never struck out. But Jesus prayed for those people that would hurt him and those people that would destroy him. This is like Stephen in the book of Acts, where he was being stoned. He asked that his accusers be forgiven. Stephen was simply following the pattern Jesus had set for him. And isn't this what we ought to do? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Listen, in moments of anger, you that are saved need to hold your anger. I'm not saying that you ought to be walked on. Not at all. I don't think Jesus said that either. But we need to be Christians. We need to be like Jesus Christ. We that are saved need to live like Jesus. And we need to say to our Heavenly Father, for those people that would do us dirty, we need to pray, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. This is guaranteed, folks. When you pray, God will hear your prayer. God will answer your prayer when you pray according to His will. Well, we see that our time has gone away from us again today. We'll continue in this study the next Sunday morning, Lord willing. In the meantime, we do invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church. Come and worship with us. Come and see the Savior that we tell you about, that you might also rejoice. If you're lost, our prayer is that God, in His mercy, would save you before it's eternally too late. Well, we invite you again to come to the services at Independence Baptist Church and listen again next Sunday morning for another radio program, Lord willing. Thank you now for listening.